greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. A few days ago, the American nation celebrated the 4th of July. But something was different this time. It was a different celebration than what it ever had been before. I believe the British paper The Telegraph very succinctly and accurately describes what had happened and what this phenomenon was all about. Let me just quote a few excerpts from this article. It was actually titled, "Down on the 4th of July, the United States of Gloom." And it went on to say, it was dated on July the 4th, "Across America today, people will gather for barbecues in their backyards, parades through their towns and firework displays lighting up the night sky. They'll be celebrating Independence Day, the birthday of the United States, and the 235th anniversary of shaking off the oppressive yoke of British rule. On this day in 1776, a group of 13 colonies broke away to found a new nation, free to govern itself as it saw fit, pledging that each citizen would have the unalienable right," they said, they meant inalienable right, "to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Now, let me just interject here that this is kind of a joke today, because today most Americans do not have any more the right to these inalienable rights. In other words, they cannot really experience them in the kind of lifestyle they are forced to live in. It goes on to say in this article, "A nation as Americans are apt to declare, which became the greatest on the face of the earth, and amen to that." It says, however, that's the good news. On the flip side, however, a country whose hallmark has always been a sense of optimism is in the grip of unprecedented uncertainty and self-doubt. With the United States mixed and mired in three foreign wars, beaten down by an economy that shows few signs of emerging from deep recession, and we'll talk about that in a moment, and deeply disillusioned with President Barack Obama, his Republican challengers, and Congress, the mood is dark. Frank Luntz, perhaps America's preeminent pollster, argues that his countrymen are much more downbeat now than ever before. Remarkably, many Americans think things will only get worse, and the good times will never return. But Americans do not just blame Obama or any other president. It goes on to say, every institution in America has gone through a collapse, says Luntz. The church is not what it was, thanks to all those religious scandals. The media is much less trusted today than it was 20 or 30 years ago. Big business does not have credibility. And it's kind of funny that CNN Money kind of echoed what was just stated in its article on July the 6th, saying, almost no one is satisfied with the current state of the U.S. economy. Economists say the outlook is pretty bleak. Sluggish economic growth will continue into 2012 and beyond, with only modest hiring and high unemployment. Expectations started off strong in 2011, but momentum waned in the spring after the Japanese earthquake shook the world economy and oil prices rose. Since then, some economists raised the risk of a new recession. So some of that is man-made, some of that is actually not even man-made, like the catastrophe over there in Japan, at least not to the fullest extent. But look at what the man-made debacle has created. Here's an article by the Weekly Standard, dated July the 3rd. The seventh quarterly report on the economic impact of the stimulus, released on Friday, July the 1st, provides further evidence that President Obama's economic stimulus did very little, if anything, to stimulate the economy, and a whole lot to stimulate the debt. The report was written by the White House Council of Economics Advisors, a group of three economists who were all handpicked by Obama. And it shows that the stimulus has added or saved just under 2.4 million jobs, whether private or public, at a cost of, to date, $666 billion. So this article goes on to explain that's a cost to taxpayers of $278,000 per job. In other words, now listen to this. The government could have simply cut a $100,000 check to everyone whose employment was allegedly made possible by the stimulus, and taxpayers would have come out $427 billion ahead. This, my friends, is not the way how we can improve our economy. Don't you agree with that? Today, July the 8th, CNBC stated this in an article on the economy. U.S. employment growth grounds to a halt in June, with employers hiring the fewest number of workers in 9 months, dousing hopes the economy would regain momentum in the second half of the year. The government revised April and May payrolls to show 44,000 fewer jobs created than previously reported. Then this article goes on to say that the signs that the labor market is struggling is a major blow, of course, for the Obama administration, which has struggled itself to get the economy to create enough jobs to absorb the 14.1 million unemployed Americans. And that doesn't include even the underemployed and those who don't even bother asking for unemployment benefits. This article says so far the economy has regained only a fraction of the more than 8 million jobs lost during the recession. The economy needs to create between 125,000 and 150,000 new jobs a month just to absorb new labor force entrants. Are we doing that? Of course we are not. We are adding about 57,000 jobs a month in the private sector, but it says that the government employment shrunk 39,000 jobs. So we are far from the absolute minimum just to strike even to what we had prior to the recession. That's pretty bad, don't you think? Other reports tell us that the national debt at the end of 2008, when Obama was poised to take office, was $9.986 trillion. Now it's $14.467 trillion. And counting. And just based on an economic standpoint, without going into the debate whether it's feasible or not from an environmental standpoint, here's an article by Newsmax, dated July the 2nd. The Obama administration is foot-dragging on approving a pipeline to deliver abundant Canadian oil to the United States. At the same time, the Chinese are investing in a pipeline that could send that oil to China. The Canadian province of Alberta has the world's third largest oil reserves after Saudi Arabia and Venezuela, and more than Russia or Iran. My friends, this is so because Canada, as well as the United States of America and Great Britain, are descendants of the ancient House of Israel. And it was actually God who promised Abraham unconditional blessings to his descendants because of his unconditional obedience. But God also said that if those descendants in the end times are not following me, if they turn their backs on me, I will turn my back on them and I will take away those blessings. And my friends, what we are seeing right now shows that God is taking away the blessings, most certainly, from the United States of America and Great Britain, and he will shortly also from Canada. At the same time, and we have been telling you this for years, at the same time as we see the downfall of the United States of America and Great Britain, we see the rise of Europe and especially of Germany. And this too, my friends, has been prophesied in the Bible, and we have been saying these things because we understand biblical prophecy. Listen to this article by the Wall Street Journal, dated June 27. Germany is sitting on top of the world. The economy has come roaring out, or the country rather, has come roaring out of the global financial crisis, boasting one of the strongest economies in the West and simply poised for years of rising exports ahead. It goes on to say that unlike many other Western countries, Germany has spent years living within its means and building up a deep trade surplus. All of which leads to a question with big implications for the global economy and the political order. What is Germany's place in the world? In other words, what's Germany's future? And then the article kind of talks about the fact that the Allies want Germany to do more, even in military aspects. But let's view at what is already being done. Der Spiegel Online reported this week, actually on July the 2nd, that Germany will sell 200 military Leopard battle tanks to Saudi Arabia for billions of dollars. Now, this caused a tremendous uproar in Germany by the opposition in the media, because the idea is that such a sale to a dictatorial country is illegal, is unconstitutional. And even today, there was a big debate in parliament, but nevertheless, the government won, and so this sale is going forward. So they don't seem to care too much about this argument, whether it's illegal or not. Now, Der Spiegel Online reported that with 11% of global weapon trade, Germany is the world's third biggest weapons exporter, following America with 30% and Russia with 23%. And about 80,000 people already work for the German weapon industry. Now, in addition to this, here's an article by The Local, reporting on July the 6th that Germany, France, and Poland have joined forces to form a joint European combat group that will be ready to deploy in crisis zones from 2013. They signed first an agreement in Brussels. They have been talking about this. And it's interesting how they coined this. They coined it the Weimar Triangle. And then they say the three nations have discussed the possibility of creating the so-called Weimar Combat Group since 2006. Now it's coming to fruition. And so we are seeing at the time of America's downfall, of distrust of the American people in their government, in their own country, we see a rise in Europe, and we see most certainly a rise in Germany of confidence, also, of course, of military engagement. And that is exactly what the Bible has prophesied. And that's what we have been telling you for years. It's coming true. Now, I'd like to challenge you to not only take my word for these things, but to find out for yourselves whether what I am saying is true or not. We have prepared several booklets. I encourage you to write for them or to go to our website and look them up and read them online. They are entitled Europe in Prophecy, the Great Tribulation and the Day of the Lord, and the Fall and Rise of Britain and America. We have other booklets going into prophetic events as well, but I would challenge you to read those three booklets first. They have a lot of biblical evidence, many scriptures, backing up what we are saying. It's for you to look into these prophetic events, because they are coming true as we speak. But the good news is, my friends, that when we are seeing those things to come true, according to the Bible, the return of Jesus Christ is very, very near. And then all this madness, what we are seeing in this world today, will be ending. And a beautiful world tomorrow will be established on this earth. Jesus Christ will restore the kingdom of God, the government of God, God's rule over this earth. What better news could we proclaim than that? Thanks very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.